This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
As Toastmasters, we're all about improving and enhancing our communication and harnessing the power of communication to lead others to achieve a common goal. However, when we talk about communication, we typically talk about communicating with other human beings. Today's guest is going to help us explore another form of communication, communication with non-human conversational partners. Our guest today, we could call a modern-day Dr. Doolittle.
That's right, Greg. The December 2021 issue of the Toastmaster magazine has a fun article called A Toastmaster's Best Friend. And we thought it would be fun to speak with a guest who's pushing the boundaries of communication to include communicating with animals. Claudia Hare is our guest. She's an internationally respected animal communications expert, author, speaker, and coach. Claudia has appeared on television networks like the Discovery Channel. She's also been profiled on international radio broadcasts and in newspapers and magazines like Animal Wellness, Modern Dog, The Globe and Mail, and Toronto Life. Joining us from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Claudia Hare, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Greg, Ryan, thank you so much for having me. I'm very honored being your guest. Thank you.
Welcome, Claudia. As I was preparing for this episode, I just had memories of Dr. Doolittle as a child, and I still remember the song, you know, walking with the animals, talking with the animals. Just to think of a modern day Dr. Doolittle, how did you actually earn that moniker?
Actually, you know, when I was a child, I was also seeing that movie and I thought, oh, that's what I want to do. Because I was communicating with animals beforehand, but I didn't know that I was, because like I wasn't speaking out loud, but I was able to literally read their thoughts. So it's a long story, but it came because of my childhood. It was an abusive childhood, so I literally had to learn to read my mom's mind to know how to behave. And literally, when I communicate with animals, it's done through telepathy, which is a nonverbal way of communication.
Now, when we talk about communicating with animals, is it just your typical zoo animals? Does that include reptiles, insects, etc.?
Actually, I have communicated with thousands of animals from hundreds of different species, literally from the smallest, the one-cell amoeba, to the now known largest animal on this planet, which is the blue whale, and so many species in between. It's absolutely amazing. I like to see a species more like a culture. If you think about it, when we talk about tigers or ants or dogs or horses, it feels so far distant. I like to refer to a species like a culture. And when you do that, you kind of already closer, and it's so interesting to get to know a new culture. So each animal species is, you know, they have their own way of living and their own way of doing things and their own verbal language. So it's sort of like, you know, getting to know a new culture.
So I'd like to probe this a little bit further, Claudia. Obviously, animals don't speak English or Spanish or Arabic or Mandarin, at least not out loud, at least not that I've heard. So how does this work? How does this communication where, you know, it's one thing for us to talk to our animals, but animals out there to talk back to us?
Actually, animals do speak our language, because if you have a dog companion, you actually teach your dog companion what sit means, come, go for walk. So they actually understand our verbal language as well. However, we have never learned their language, because there's not a person on this planet who can tell you exactly what a wow means or meow or so on, right? Communication, there's so many different ways, which is the verbal communication, as you said, different languages. There's the body language, there's scent, and so on and so on. One way, which is also called the universal language, which is telepathy. I, however, like to call it a soul communication, because we actually connect with each other's soul. And so it's a nonverbal way of communication. When I communicate with animals, I literally then translate into words for people to hear what the animals have to say.
Your website says, I want you to realize that it is possible to have a conversation with questions and answers with all animals. So I think what I'm hearing you say in this telepathy is you're getting some kind of signal, some kind of communication back from the animal, but it's not occurring to you or playing through your mind as a series of words, but an impression. There is a message there, and then you're taking that and putting words to it to convey what you've received from the animal. Is that an accurate way of saying it, or can you maybe tweak that to help us understand more?
Certainly. When you communicate telepathically, I mean, I've been doing that literally my entire life and professionally for almost, you know, 3 decades. So the longer you do it, the better you get and the more channels open. Because when you communicate telepathically, there's actually many different channels how you receive it. It can be from feeling to emotions. Some people see pictures, colors, or you just know, or you have a feeling in your own body. So there's many different ways, and I receive them all, and I know which comes from the animal, which is mine, so to speak. So I make a distinction. It's the same thing if you walk into a room and there's 3 different people speaking, you know exactly which voice belongs to what person, right? So it's like an energy thing. So I know also what belongs to what animal. And then, like I said, whatever I get, I then just translate into words.
So how do you learn to discern what you're actually receiving versus maybe your own voice in your own head or your imagination?
That literally comes with practice, lots and lots of practice. But like I said, it's the same as when I connect with an animal, I can feel the animal. There's a real connection. I feel it. I like to compare it with a voice. Again, if you, let's say you're in a room, somebody comes in and you're not looking at the person, you're looking to the other side. The person comes in and says, hi, you recognize the voice, right?
Right.
But you cannot see a voice, you cannot touch a voice, but you can hear the voice. Like, it's a vibration, right? And in your head, literally, the voice, the vibration of the voice gets translated into words. So I do the same thing. I connect with the animal. I feel the energy, and then I have that vibration, and then I can translate that vibration into words.
Interesting. So you're saying that you don't necessarily have to touch them, but I'm wondering about physical presence. Do you have to be there physically? I mean, we're online a lot. We do things virtually. Mm-hmm. Can you do things virtually as well? I mean, it may sound like a silly question.
Oh, not at all. Actually, most of my work is done via distance. The same thing. We are not in the same room right now either, and we're having a conversation. So no, the animal does not have to be there. Plus, I can also connect with animals who have left their physical body, because a soul is immortal. And again, telepathy is a soul language. So I don't have to see the animal. I don't have to feel the animal. I can connect with the animal's vibration, with the soul itself. If you've never done that before, it really sounds weird.
Yeah, it does. I'm just trying to visualize this. So you're connecting with them and just trying to picture them responding.
Think about it. You have a cell phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you open the cell phone, you punch in a number, and you get a friend, the one you want to talk to. Your cell phone is on a vibration, and then you connect with your friend's cell phone and you can communicate. So I do the same thing. I connect with the animal that way. Or if you want another visual, if let's say you have you have an outlet and you have a radio, and then you plug the radio into the outlet, all of a sudden you have electricity going, and you see on your radio, the light comes on. You see that you're connected. The radio is now connected to electricity, so the light comes on.
That's interesting. I can imagine before the advent of the radio and before people had seen that technology, if it was in place and someone were to say to you, hey, there's actually music playing in this room right now, or voices speaking that you're not hearing, but I can prove to you that they're here. And then you flick on the radio. I can imagine that would blow someone's mind. And it sounds very similar.
Yeah, even if you go further, I mean, 100 years further, if somebody would have said a telephone, you know, you pick up the phone and you can talk to somebody in the village.
Yeah.
Through that line, they would have said you're crazy. And now we don't even need to be plugged in anymore.
Right.
I mean, you can talk to somebody on the moon, theoretically, right? It's absolutely amazing. Yes.
Yeah. Claudia, obviously, what you're talking about is outside the regular experience, I think, of most people. I mean, we said earlier, you're kind of pushing the boundaries of communication. So I wanted to ask you, what are some of the most common challenges that you hear from skeptics, and how do you respond to those?
You know, the funny part is that everybody uses this telepathy. Everybody's telepathic because, again, it is a soul ability. And we are souls who have a physical body. We are not a physical body who has a soul. We're actually souls who have a physical body. The telepathic communication is a soul ability. So we all have it. But most people just have not learned how to use it. For example, if I communicate with somebody and have some question about their dog companion and I answer what the animal has to say, then they usually say, oh, I thought that. I kind of knew that because they have gotten the message, but they haven't learned how to hear it. You know what I mean? They got it, but they didn't know that they got it. So, but everybody has this ability. You just have to be shown how to use it.
Because it seems to me that quite often you sense something, but often you're in your mind, you think, well, we're just guessing. We've heard animals do incredible things like sensing cancer or telling when someone's in trouble. I mean, obviously it's glorified in Hollywood, but yet in the back of our minds, we go, how is this really possible? So you're saying it's because we're not able to interpret it.
There's a big problem too, because what most people think about animals is actually not correct, because most people have a paradigm about animals that they're not very intelligent, that we can't communicate with them, they're just working on instinct and so on, right? When people get messages, when they're communicating actually with animals in their mind, because they have a paradigm that says, animals can't communicate with us, can't talk with us, not to us, with us, then their mind says, okay, what I just got is not possible and destroys what you got. Once you change the way you see animals, you will see how amazing they are.
So start on the assumption that, yes, we can communicate with the animals and then take it from there.
Exactly. Yeah, because we can, like I said, we really can. We're just being so conditioned that we, you know, it's not possible and then. So just look at it from a different perspective and then be amazed. Like, I mean, I've been communicating, like I said, for almost 3 decades professionally, and I'm still amazed what the animals, the knowledge they have, the depth they have. It's absolutely, absolutely amazing.
Wow.
I give another example. One time I was talking to a great white shark, and the first question he had for me was, why do people hate us? Really, like when you communicate with animals, you have to be totally open. You will be, especially, you know, because of the old paradigm that most people have, you will be blown away.
Have you seen the movie Jaws?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. How would a shark know what human culture has to say about sharks and how they're portrayed in the media and conversation?
Okay, they don't know the movies. However, when a shark gets in contact with a human, as soon as a human, actually the person who, you know, wrote the books, Jaws, he was interviewed after a few years later, and he said he thinks it was one of the worst mistakes he made actually writing those books, because it brought on that hate for sharks and that frenzy, you know, that hate frenzy for sharks. Think about it. Because when we speak and when we think, we send out telepathic messages. Again, it's a soul ability. So when an animal is close by, they can pick up what you're saying. So when there's a shark and there are humans around, I mean, a human sees a shark and panic, I hate you, get away from me, you know, I'm afraid. So the sharks pick that up. So that's why the sharks know that, you know, we hate them. Or most people hate them.
Right. Negative reinforcement.
Exactly.
Yeah. Claudia, can I share with you a bit about my rabbits?
Oh, please. Yes, absolutely. What's his name?
His name is Buster. I'll tell you about both of them, but I want to specifically focus on Buster. So I have two rabbits that we adopted 2 years ago from a shelter, and they are both floppy-eared Holland Lop mixes. Thumper is a female. She's the dominant one. Buster is a male. And Buster is right here in my lap right now. He's a bit of a poor thing. he has a condition called snuffles. It's a chronic condition, and he uses a nebulizer every day. He takes CBD oil every day.
Can I tell you a couple of things what he's saying?
Sure.
First thing, he's saying that his neck is really sore on his left side, right, kind of around the shoulder area, close to the spine.
Okay.
He says his teeth feel a little bit funny, and he says his eyesight is not good at all.
Interesting.
And he says his nails are a little bit too long.
That I can guarantee is absolutely true.
And he's also a little scared, so he would prefer if you would tell him a little bit more. like right now when you went to when you said, you know, I'm going to grab him, like if you in the future would just go over there and then say, Basta, I would like to pick you up, and then you pick him up so he can get ready for it first, rather than just being lifted up 2, 3, 4 feet, or if there's anything, or before you clean the cage, or if somebody's coming, or there's different noise, or if he has to go to the vet, or who knows what, or if you have to give him medication, tell it to him beforehand. He would really appreciate that. And you will see, once you tell him those things, then he will be more relaxed, because if you just do something, oh gosh, what are you doing now? What's next? Then they tighten up. But if you tell him beforehand what you do, he can relax because he knows what's going to happen.
I like that. And I have to say, he is surprisingly calm in my lap. So as you know, rabbits are prey animals. Buster in particular, and I'm constantly saying this as we're giving him his medicine and he's shaking in my arms, his poor little feet are shaking, sometimes kicking, is I want to say, you know, Buster, we love you. We care about you. We want to take care of you. We're not here to harm you. We're your friends. We're your family.
See, there's a mistake.
Okay, tell me.
When we communicate telepathically, think about it this way. When you speak and when you think, you send out telepathic messages, period. Mm-hmm. Just like the radio, right? The radio station. You don't see it, but it's sending out. So you do the same thing. However, the trick with telepathy is that negatives do not come through. So if I say to you, Ryan, don't think about an African elephant. You know the ones with the big ears rather than the Asian elephants with the small ears? What were you just thinking about?
Yeah, it's the picture that gets painted.
You were thinking about an elephant. Right. So the same thing, if you say to Buster, I mean, if you say things like, you know, I want to help you, I love you, wonderful. But as soon as you say, I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah.
If you take the negation out of the sentence, that is what an animal hears. So if you say, I don't want to hurt you, you say, I want to hurt you.
I see.
Don't worry, worry.
Right.
So what you would have to say, sweetheart, I'm just going to give you a medication. I'm just going to cuddle with you. Just take it easy. Just relax. Open your mouth. Or who knows what? Tell him, but say what you want.
Yeah.
So rather than saying, don't be scared, you could say, I love you so much. I want to protect you. Relax.
Okay. I like that. Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's why a lot of people say when they talk to the animals, they say, you can't talk to animals because I say something to my dog, my cat, and they do the opposite. So it's not true. But the reason is because they say it the wrong way. Same thing. If you learn a language and somebody teaches you that left means right and right means left, and then you come to an intersection and they want you to turn left. So they say left, you turn right, and they say to you, you were told the wrong way, right? And that's why there's so many misunderstandings and miscommunications between humans and animals, because we humans say the wrong way, not them, we. And then if they do it the wrong way, so let's say you say to your dog companion, don't bark. So you actually tell your dog to bark, because again, take the negation out. So the dog barks, and then the dog gets punished. So where's the trust? Where's the relationship? Because the dog says, you told me to bark, I bark. And then I get told off.
Yeah.
So you would say, please be quiet. Say what you want.
Yeah. Even as humans, right? And Toastmasters, if you tell someone, don't worry when you're about to give your speech, it's not like everyone's going to laugh you off the stage and ostracize you. It's like just saying those words is painting the picture of what they don't want.
Exactly. Because when we think, we actually think in pictures. So the same thing, if you say to your dog, don't be scared, you see a dog that's sitting in a corner being scared. You don't see a dog that's relaxed lying on the couch.
Right.
So your dog companion picks that picture up and think, oh gosh, something horrible is going to happen. The first thing when people say to the animal companion, okay, sweetie, we're going to the vet. It's not going to hurt. You don't have to stay. Don't be scared. You literally say, it's going to hurt, be very scared, and you're going to have to stay.
Right.
And then you wonder why they run away and you can't catch them.
I'm wondering if there's anything else. I mean, we do this for our animals out of love, but are there any other things, one or two things that perhaps we're doing that we think are good, but yet they're hindering rather than helping?
Yes. Again, we have this paradigm that, you know, that animals... They're so much different than us, but they're not like deep, like, okay, we look different. Absolutely. But I mean, you and I will look different. You and your brother look different, right? Luckily, they have so beautiful bodies and I mean, again, different cultures, you know, so it makes this world such a beautiful place. deep down, we are the same. They have the same feelings, the same emotions. The bodies might work different. They might need different, like a fish needs water to swim. A bird needs air to fly, right? We have different needs for the body, but deep down, we have the same feelings, emotions, and then end. The best thing you can do, always tell your animal companion everything. Put it in the positive. And if there's something going to happen, tell them. So for example, a dog trainer will tell you when you go out, tell your dog you'll be right back. You go out and then you're gone for 5 hours. You lie to your dog. Animals know time. Again, I live in a high-rise building. So if I take out the trash, it doesn't matter if I take the stairs or the elevator. It will be at least 5 or 10 minutes. So if I say to my animal companions, I'll be right back, and I'm gone for 5 minutes, that wasn't the truth. So I tell to my animal family members, okay, guys, I'm going to take out the trash and I'll probably get the mail, so give me 5 or 10 minutes. Or if I have to run an errand, I will be an hour, hour and a half. I tell them everything and they know they can trust me no matter what. Think about it this way. How would you feel in their situation? Wouldn't you be upset? Wouldn't you start to worry? Don't see a Buster as Buster my bunny. It's Buster my family member. It's not Charlie. It's not my dog, Charlie. No, it's Charlie my family member. And how would you feel? By doing that, again, you build a relationship. You build trust. And a lot of stuff won't happen or they sneak out when a dog companion sleeps and then they come back and they wonder why their animal companion has separation anxiety. Build a relationship out of trust and love.
I am going to give this a shot. I really am.
Shifting gears just a little bit and just thinking about Toastmasters, I'm assuming it probably takes a lot more time and patience to communicate with animals. In what ways does going through these exercises of communicating with animals make us actually better at communicating with humans?
Through many, many ways. Because first of all, is that we really want to focus on what we want. What are you actually saying and what should you be saying? So practice it before you actually are in that situation, because then once you're in your situation, your paradigm kicks in and your habit kicks in, you say what you always had. So get prepared before. That's the same thing if you give a speech. If you do that with your animal companions, you really will learn the empathy, you know, how they feel actually. It's such a shift and you feel much warmer. You know, it's really, really amazing. And when you do that with your animal companions, don't think that, okay, now you're coming home, you heard this podcast, you're coming home and tonight you're telling your animal companion what happened and you were positive and then tomorrow morning you say, well, that stuff doesn't work because my dog is still doing the same thing. Well, think about it. Without knowing, for 11 years, you lied to your dog companion, you communicated the wrong way. It's not going to shift from today till tomorrow, right? So your animal companion has to learn that your animal companion actually can trust you. It will take some time to shift, but start somewhere. Start now, and you will make mistakes. Sometimes when I communicate with my animal companions, a negative comes in, but as soon as it comes in, boom, oops, there was a negative. I'm totally aware of it right away. Then I correct it right away. Or practice when you communicate with a friend of yours. Try to have a conversation, just a 2 or 3 minute conversation without using the word don't. It's very difficult.
So is that the first step? Because I'm just thinking in my mind here, I'm thinking this is totally blowing me away. And when, you know, sometimes we say food for thought, this is like a whole shopping center full of food for thoughts. Where do we start? Okay, you kind of touched upon that, but if we decide in our minds, okay, we are going to change the way we communicate, or we're going to improve the way we communicate, or even make an effort to communicate with our animals, where do we start?
Okay, say what you want. So put it in a positive. Tell your animal companions more, like tell them that you're going out, what you're doing. Like, for example, when you go out, tell them, hey, sweetie, I'm going to run some errands. I have to go to the post office, the grocery store and the bank. I will be gone for an hour, hour and a half. And while I'm gone, just watch some TV, have a snooze. Put everything in a positive. Tell them more and then see them as not your dog. See them as Charlie. Just those three things. And also think about, there's so much more than you just thought. Like I said, that paradigm shift. Once you do those four things, they are huge, but they are, wow, they will be life-changing for you and your animal companions.
What are signs that it's working?
The relationship will shift. I had another lady, she had rescued a bull mastiff who was 6 months, who was very badly abused. She had been working with them for a year and a half. So when the lady called me, her dog companion was two. And she said, I tried absolutely everything from, and she knows bull mastiffs. Bull mastiffs are very large dogs, right? And she works with them. She, her own dog companions are bull mastiffs. She rescues them. Like, she knows that breed. And she said for this year and a half, she tried everything, training, positive reinforcement, you name it. But to this day, if she would come close to the dog would literally cower on the floor, or she couldn't even feed him unless he was in the crate. He was so bad, like so fearful. Mm. Nothing had helped. So I connected with him. And the first question he had for me was, when is she going to hurt me? He told me a little bit about his past, and literally for the first 6 months of his life, every day was beaten to a pulp. So the first question he had for me was, when is she going to hurt me, his new guardian? Because he thought she didn't hurt me yesterday, so I will get it today, and it will be even worse than it was before. So every single day he was waiting to be beaten up. So I was able to explain to him that that was the past, that this was his new family, his new guardian, and she loved him more than anything, and she just wanted the best for him. I get a call 3 days later, and she said, you know, Claudia, I tried it all for a year and a half. Nothing worked. Now the dog is sitting beside me on the couch eating off my plate. That one question this dog had, when is she going to hurt me, changed his life.
Wow.
Amazing.
What a great story to wrap with. I am looking forward to redefining my relationship with Buster and Thumper in a
they will love it.
More positive way, more open way, more communicative way.
And also tell them, you know, we look up at our animal companions and think, oh, I love you. Tell them. Like for my guys, for example, okay, I can't say you're the best dog because I have multiple dog companions. But for example, I would say you're the best Nishoni ever. Mm. And I mean time, space, and reality. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for sharing your life with me. And I mean that, and I tell them that.
I always tell them they're a couple of very special bunnies, and they're our favorite bunnies in the world.
Awesome, but also make sure you do it individually. Don't always put them together.
Okay, good. Wow, this has definitely been mind-expanding, Claudia. This has been really interesting. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us, opening this whole new world to us. I'd like to ask you, where can listeners go to learn more about you? Perhaps they might even want you to speak with their animal. How does that get done?
Oh, that's awesome. I would be honored. And thanks so much for having me on the show as well. The best is just to go to my website, which is claudiahehr.com. So that's claudiahehr.com. There's all my information. So you can get in touch with me. Call me, email, whatever.
And we'll definitely put that into the show notes. And also, folks, please, if you haven't already done so, check out the article in the December Toastmaster magazine called A Toastmaster's Best Friend, subtitled Pets Provide Loyalty, Laughs, and Positive, that's P-A-W, positive, reinforcement to members around the world. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please take an opportunity to share the podcast with your friends and family and everybody else you know. You can get the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, and all of the audio platforms. Claudia Hare, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to truly expand and blow us away with, blow our minds with today's session. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
And Buster says thank you too, Claudia.
Oh, give him a big hug from both of them, please. A big hug from me.
I will.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.